Thank you, ladies. Born to die on Calvary. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23. We started last week, and Lord willing, we'll get through it this week. And I believe that this psalm can be a tremendous help to your life if you would understand it and make it real to you. Abraham Lincoln would often get discouraged, depressed, have the blues, and he'd read Psalm 23 to lift them out of those blues. George Bush publicly read Psalm 23 after 9-1-1. Now, last week, we looked at Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And God describes us as sheep. Not a dog, not a cat, not a bird, but sheep. Over 200 times the Bible compares us to sheep. We looked at several reasons why the Bible compares us to sheep. Well, one thing, sheep get dirty, and sheep have no way of cleansing themselves. A cat will lick its paws, and there's other animals that clean themselves up, but not a sheep. Out in Israel, it'd be dry, dusty, dirty, and after a while, a sheep would get really, really dirty, so the shepherd had to clean off the sheep. Another thing that sheep, there's characteristics of sheep is that they have no way of defending themselves. Now, if you've ever been around sheep, you know that they don't run fast. They don't have sharp claws. They don't have horns. They don't bark. Sheep have no way to defend themselves. Folks, as sheep, we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Another characteristic of sheep, they're dumb animals. As I said last week, you never see a sheep in a circus act. They're not bright. We're not either. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. In the original language, in the Hebrew language, means we go astray. Without the Word of God, every day we're going astray. Another thing about sheep, they have no sense of direction. You can lose a dog or a cat, and that dog or cat can find its way back home. Not a sheep. And if you go to Israel or New Zealand, and they have a lot of sheep there, it's rare. I've never seen it. I went to New Zealand, and you'd see all these flocks of sheep. You never see sheep without a shepherd. Because sheep have a tendency to wander off. They can't take care of themselves. They need a shepherd. In fact, sheep have the wool to grow too heavy. They'll tip over, and they can't get back up on their feet without a shepherd. And so we need a shepherd. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I'm thankful to have a God who realizes that we need a great shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord," David said, "is my shepherd. I shall not want." Remember hearing a story, you probably heard this before, about a little girl that recited this wrong. And she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want." The person that heard that said, you memorized it wrong. You recited it wrong. She, not really. "The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need, all I want. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I believe that many times we hear Psalm 23 and we think, you know what? If we make God our shepherd, our good shepherd, we'll never have problems in our life. That is not true. If you read Psalm 23, you'll find out that there are a lot of problems. Thankful that you don't have to face those problems alone. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I'm so thankful this morning that you are God. Lord, we don't understand you. We're just sheep. We're your creatures. Lord, you created us. And I ask, Father, this morning that you would empower me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, not everybody in this room can say from their hearts, the Lord is my shepherd. David said, the Lord is not a shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, before you come to Psalm 23, you go back one chapter to Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, David and some believe the Lord Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 is about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Before you can say the Lord is my shepherd, you need to be able to say that I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, folks, not all of us are God's children. We're God's creation. We're not all God's children. We're born the children of the devil. We become the child of God once we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 27 this morning, I'll give you a chance to turn to John chapter 10, verse 27. This describes a Christian. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Folks, this morning, are you a sheep? Is God your shepherd? Because the Bible says, I know my sheep. They follow me. Do you have a desire this morning to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I believe a lot of believers or a lot of people, they think they're believers and they have been fooled and they try to think they're going to heaven, yet they don't have a desire to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We looked at last week the provision of rest, the provision of refreshment, the provision of restoration, and this morning we look at the provision of righteousness. The provision of righteousness. In verse 3, he restoreth my soul, leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, sheep are dumb. They need a shepherd to guide them. Folks, we need the good shepherd to guide us. He uses the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, before you think that Dave was talking about guiding sheep to green pastures, big green pastures, he wasn't talking about that. In Bible times, there were small segments of grass, maybe around a rock or maybe around a tree. And so the shepherd had to guide the sheep to those green pastures. And I'm thankful that God guides each one of us if we allow Him to guide us. We need guidance. We're all dumb. We don't know which way to take. The Bible says every man thinketh that he's wise or right in his own eyes. Jesus doesn't tell us where to go. He leads us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Are we allowing the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to guide us? Are we relying upon our own intelligence to guide us? We see not only the provision of righteousness, but notice in verse 4, the protection of the shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now notice what we just read. It says, yea, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So before you think, you know, if I allow God to guide me, I'll never have trials. That's not true. I think of the life of Job. I think of Jesus Christ right before he went to the cross. He said, there's some other way that I could bypass this. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, how can we be guided by the good shepherd? We need to stay close to him day by day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So the Bible doesn't say that evil won't happen to you, wicked things won't happen to you. The Bible just says that you're not going to fear those things. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice what he says. He says, yea, though I walk. He's at rest. He's not running. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You say this morning, Pastor, what is the shadow of the valley of death? You know, a dark time in your life could be a loss of a loved one. It could be some medical issue that you have. It could be a dark time is when you say, I don't think I'm going to get through this time. That's a dark time in your life. God says, I'll be with you. Has God ever puzzled you before? He's puzzled me. Have you ever wondered why, God, why do you do what you do? Have you ever wondered, God, are you for me? Lord, what's going on? And we don't have to wonder if God's ways are different than our ways, and we can never understand them, because God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The reason we don't understand God is because we're simply sheep this morning. And God does not have to fit in our plans. Folks, God was not created for us. We were created for God. Life is not about us. Life is about God. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. C.S. Lewis said this, when we get to heaven, one of the first things we're going to say after we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to say, of course, it makes sense. Because God's ways are perfect and God does not make a mistake. Charles Spurgeon said this, in heaven, we shall see that we had not one trial too many. Let me read that again. In heaven, we're going to find out, we're going to see that we had not one trial too many. Do you ever think that you have too many trials? We all do. We think it's too much, Lord. But God knows exactly how much we need. In Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you may walk through darkness, but the good shepherd never walks through darkness. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I love that. Because it's only a shadow. Shadows don't hurt you. I remember living in Springfield, Missouri. My bed was next to the window. When the sun would go down, the light would come on outside, the street light. And on my wall would appear a monster. Did you ever have a monster in your bedroom? I had a monster. I mean, it looked scary. And it had fangs. And it had claws. You know what I did? Probably what you did when you got scared. I took my blanket and covered my head. Like that really protects you, right? And I'm thinking, oh. And then my mom came in one day. She said, what are you doing? I said, Mom, there's the monster. You know what she did? She turned on the light and the monster disappeared. Then she turned off the light, the monster was there, and she touched the monster on the wall, and then she went over to the curtain and she closed, or the window, and she closed the curtain. She said, the monster is gone. The monster will not hurt you. Now, if you're saved this morning, you might go through some difficult times in your life, but notice what he says. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort thee. The very last verse of this psalm says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God never promised us an easy life, a life without trials. But he's the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We all know this, that God is with us all the time. 24/7, He's with us. But are we aware of the presence of God? And just because you're aware of the presence of God doesn't mean He just shows up then. He's with us all the time. I'm afraid many times we've fallen for the lie that all I have to do is have devotions in the morning and I'm right with God. And I remember growing up that way, my dad would say, all right, before you can go out and play, you got to read, you know, this chapter. I couldn't tell you what I read. You know, I just read it and said, Dad, I'm done. He said, okay, you can go out and play. I remember many times checking off the little box, you know, I read, you know, 10 minutes of the Bible this morning, so I'm right with God. Folks, that would not cut it with your wife. What if you got up in the morning and you said to your husband, honey, or your husband says to you, and he says to you, honey, I have 10 minutes, I'm going to talk to you today. And when I'm done with these 10 minutes, I can check the box. And when I come home tonight, you ask me about work, I'm not going to talk to you because I already spent that 10 minutes talking to you. You know what devotions is about? Being devoted to God so that we think about Him all day long. So we don't just talk to Him 10 minutes in the morning, but we talk to Him throughout the day. So we can talk to Him when we're going through a difficult time. Say, God, I'm glad You're there. You're with me. When sadness fills your heart, remember three things. God is with you. He's still with you. And He'll always be with you. He's with you right now. And this week, when you're by yourself, He is still with you. And the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. So the psalmist is saying, there's going to be some wicked things. There's going to be some evil things. There's going to be difficult times with me. I'm not going to fear them because You're with me. The God of this universe is with us. We're protected by His presence. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, God said to Abraham, I am with you to bless you. Genesis 28, verse 15, God said to Jacob, I am with you to keep you. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, I am with you to strengthen you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, God said to Jeremiah, I am with you to deliver you. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, I am with you to save you. And Jesus says to all of us in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I am with you to the ends of the age. What a promise, what a blessing this morning that God is with us. Notice in verse 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now before you think, well, Pastor, if I follow the Good Shepherd and I allow God to be my Lord and I'm aware of His presence, I won't have any enemies. That's not right. What does God say? David said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What God is saying, even when you go through that storm in your life, you can rejoice. God says there's rest for your soul in me. When you get that doctor's report and it says you have cancer, you don't have to fall apart. Because in the presence of your enemies, God is with you. He said, Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You can rejoice in the presence of Almighty God. I am thankful this morning that He guides us and He leads us. And He always leads us down the right path. And you may say, Pastor, I was trying to do right and I was living for the Lord and I was having my devotions and I was thinking about His presence. I was even meditating upon Scripture and He led me into a trial. God does that. And just because we go through a trial doesn't mean that we're not following the King of Kings. I'm thankful that our final destination is heaven. And God does not promise us an easy life or a life without trials. He promises us a home in heaven for all eternity. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what David said? I know this, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Have you ever wondered, God, are you good to me? You're good to everybody else, but are you good to me? God says He is. God says He's good to every one of us. He's good to the righteous and the unrighteous. And David said, surely goodness, God will allow good things to happen. You say, Pastor, I don't like what this is. It doesn't seem good. You know, your definition of goodness and God's definition of goodness are completely different. And that's our problem. Our definition of goodness are good things that will make us better in life and happier in life and more comfortable. And God's definition of goodness are those things that will make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely goodness and mercy. Oh, I'm thankful for God's mercy. You would not be here this morning if it wasn't for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. The word dwell means to be at home. Don't you love it? You know, when you go on a vacation, it never fails. I don't care where you go. After a few days, you're thinking, I can't wait to get back home. Because there's no place like home. And what David said, I'm going to be at home. Paul said that. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, I'm going to be at more at home in heaven than any place that I call home on earth. Our real home is heaven. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, when trials come, don't close your Bible. Keep your Bible open. Because when you close your Bible, you're closing your hope. Because God has a message for each one of us. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. And in His word do I hope. You look at Psalm, and you look at verse 1, you say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you say this morning, Pastor, there are some things that God hasn't given me. And it says, I won't want. Folks, you don't have those things because you don't need those things. He gives you things that you need. If we believe contrary, what we're saying is our Heavenly Father doesn't give us what we need. Years ago, a father took his little boy, who was about 5 or 6, to the zoo. They saw the elephants. They saw the giraffes, the rhinos, hippopotamus. They came over to the lion's cage. And as they were walking in front of the lion's cage, one of the lions roared. If you've ever been in a lion, you know, in front of a lion's cage and you've heard a lion roar, I mean, it shatters you a little bit. It gets your attention. A little boy got scared. He started running away. And he ran over to this park bench and said, come on, Dad, get out of there. Look at those lions. You know what the dad said? I'm not focusing on the lions. I'm focusing on the cage. You know what, folks, what we do? We focus on the problem and not the good shepherd. We need to focus on the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would say, Pastor, deep down in my heart, I am not sure that the Lord is my shepherd. And God's convicted my heart this morning. Would you please raise your hand? Is there someone like that here this morning so I could pray for you? Anyone at all, just lift your hand and that will be a sign to me to remember you in prayer that you're not sure the Lord is my shepherd. How many here would say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I'm going through some great difficulties in my life. And I need to get to that point where I don't fear, where I look at the good shepherd instead of my problems. And here's my hand. Please pray for me this morning. Would you lift that hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands this morning. God bless you. How many this morning would just say, Pastor, I'm so thankful I have a good shepherd. I'm thankful that he leads me in the right path. And Pastor, this morning, I need to get into the Word of God so He can lead me. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands.